Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport.
Hello and thanks very much for tuning into this week's episode of The Ball Bags. Delighted to be joined by our NFL savant, Rocky. How are you, mate?
Hello, Sasquatch. That's very, very generous of you.
I'm just boosting you up before I strip you down throughout the episode.
Yeah, look forward to it being stripped.
Thankfully,
down.
We didn't scare him away last week, but I think after an impressive debut, I'm delighted to welcome back the Chief.
How good, Sasquatch. How are you?
Not too bad. I have a strong dose of the man flu, and while a lot of people are concerned, I'm built tougher than most, so I think I will I'll manage to pull through, but I'm all good. So I suppose, look, the format, as explained last week, is going to be tried and tested throughout season three. So it's last week's player of the week, a bit of discussion around that, agree, disagree, where we just bring a talking point from the world of sport, bring it around the table, bring around the guests appearing at that stage. And then finally, just we're just going to give our fixture that you have to watch this weekend that we feel is going to be the game of the weekend. It's difficult, as always, to kind of predict that one, but look, we'll go with it anyway. So without much further ado, player of the week, gents, and I think it's yourself, Chief, to lead us in nicely to the weekend.
Yeah, so my player of the week comes from my must-watch game, the Ireland-South Africa game, and there was plenty of options to choose from in this game, but I've gone with James Lowe. He was outstanding, and even for that tackle on Etzebeth alone, it's a highlight reel.
Yeah, I think regardless of what player came from that game, it would be hard to argue against. Obviously, I think myself and Rocky may have a job in our hands to persuade the listener and yourself otherwise. But look, what a incredible performance. An incredibly proud moment for the Irish sports fan. If for nothing else, the rendition of Zombie at the end. I think very it's true. Up there. Yeah, myself, look, low-hanging fruit, you had got your Irish rugby recommendation in ahead of me, so I've gone with Kieran Trippier, albeit maybe not the best opposition, but huge win for Newcastle on the weekend, 8-0 against Sheffield United, and look, Sheffield United were brutal, but it's still Premier League caliber opposition, and he's still chipped in with three assists. I just thought, do you know what? Credit where it's due. He probably gets omitted a lot for all he does, but I think he's fast becoming the best fullback. Maybe not the best fullback, but one of the best fullbacks in the competition. So I said I'd give him his dues, but more than comfortable to be batted away as the overall player of the week.
Yeah, fair point.
Finally.
Very good. Yeah, very good. My player of the week, I selected Tua Lipa, Tua Tagovailoa. Obviously, piloted the Dolphins to that pretty impressive win over the Broncos, scoring 70 points and putting up about nearly 800 yards of offense. Kind of two records that's kind of stood since, for about 75 years, since the 1950s. So, probably not to be expected going forward, but nonetheless, a pretty impressive week for Tua as he keeps building his, he's first in MVP, the MVP odds as well. So, solid building onto that.
Yeah, fair. If we had to pick one, I'm going to stake my case first, gents, and I'll leave it to you to stake your case for whoever you feel is the player of the week. I'm obviously going to go with the Chiefs' recommendation. I think Kieran Trippier and Tua, they kind of both fall into the same category. Yes, they had a phenomenal performance, but the caliber of opposition probably is a detracting factor. Whereas I think it's one versus two in the world and 1-1, so that's where I stand anyway. But more than happy to listen to arguments or allegations.
Do you wanna state your case next, Chief, or do you want me to go ahead?
I think Sasquatch pretty much hit the nail on the head with it. In terms of low, like he was outstanding in that game. Tackling his clearance kicks, everything, it was there. You could argue Tua, but I think, yeah, as Sasquatch said, the caliber of opposition he was up against, it, you know, so I'm nailing my flag to the mast and going with James Lowe.
I am going to argue Tua. Of course, I can't say anything bad about James Lowe or his performance. I would probably just point out the comment you made in your pitch, Chief, just that there's a number of players in that game that could have been selected for the player of the week. And Tua, I know he's one of 11 on the offense, but he, you know, he's just the caliber of record that he set, for me, I think it's a sort of a monumental event. But again, I'm not going to put up much of a fight because I can't really override a 2-1 vote, but my vote would be for Tua.
I just think a lot of them yards came from the running back position, as did a lot of the points. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? And there's only one quarterback.
Look, absolutely. That's very true. But it hasn't happened in 75 years, and it happened to Tua.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
But I think, are we giving it to James?
You're going to agree with James Lowe?
Yeah.
It's a solid argument. Yeah. And given his injuries last year, it's nice record for him to have. But I'm still sticking with James Lowe.
That's fine. I don't think the listeners are tuning in for a little wee circle jerk every week, so I thought I'd put up a bit of a fight.
Good stuff, Mary Duff. Yeah, well, look, I suppose that takes us on nicely now to agree to disagree. So this is where we hope there's a bit of an argument. And I think, again, Chief, it's yourself to deputise.
Yeah, so my agree to disagree is the Chicago Bears have started 0-3 and have now gone 13 straight losses since their last league victory. Is it time to change the coaching ticket or bench Justin Fields, or do they stick with one or both? I'll put it to you.
That's a tough one.
Fans of the other production on the network, Huddles and Stout, will be licking their lips if they're anti-Chicago sports. So fair play to you, Chief. I think I actually touched on it in the episode during the week. The last winning record the Bears had, I think, was 2015 or 2016, and they sacked Lovie Smith on the back of a 10-6 season. I think organizationally, they're an absolute mess. So, is benching of Justin Fields or the removal of a head coach really going to change it? And when you look at kind of the roster, build and the roster management. I don't know. There are a few things I do know. Justin Fields hasn't developed since he got to the Chicago Bears. He, for me, has a lot of the intangibles, the natural kind of athletic ability. He can throw. It's maybe not the throws you want. He's maybe not the small kind of 10, 8-yard throws here and there. He probably does have a tendency to look for the large over-the-top play, throw, which I don't always think you have in the Chicago roster. For me, I think it's more a case for upper-level management that needs to be cast aside. Manager, I'm not overly convinced on either. I don't know if I know the solution to the Chicago Bears problem at present, which is a shame, because, touching this a few times, they are one of my soft spot sporting organizations worldwide around. Incredibly influential in the history of the NFL. George Halas, for example, like the NFC Championship is the George Halas Trophy. It is, they're a classy organization. Historically speaking, even if not right now.
I too would have had a soft spot for Chicago since the Cubs in 2015 sort of ended their World Series drought. I don't know where you start with Chicago. I think they're a bit of a mess all over the place. I think their O-line is very poor. It's not just Justin Fields. It's not just the coaching. I think the general manager in the front office has not done a super job assembling the team. I think the O-line's not great. There are 59 players currently with more sacks than the entire Chicago Bear team. Not great. Obviously, they made a bit of a shrewd move in the draft, moving back from 1 to 9 and then to 10 later on, kind of picking up assets along the way. But I don't think they've capitalized on them. And of course, they're sort of kind of questionable sort of acquisitions in the off season, picking up linebackers and prioritizing linebackers over other position groups. So I don't know. Probably, I'm not sure. Are we the second year into Matt Eberflus and Ryan Pace?
Yes.
So, you know, when you kind of have the dual regime change of coach and GM, I would tend to say give it time. But I just think you probably would have wanted to see a bit of an upward trend to this point.
Yeah. Fair point. Big upheaval last year, changing GM and head coach all in one off season. And I think, though, going back to Sasquatch's point about Justin Fields, he hasn't developed. In fact, he's probably regressed. His confidence seems really low at the moment. And I don't know if that's the playbook or just the people in front of him not doing it for him, which is a big problem. But I came across some stats. They're 32nd in most defensive stats for the last two seasons. The most amount of sacks per game given up and most amount of yards conceded per coverage snap. Like, it's just so dysfunctional at the moment. And I don't know if a new head coach and offensive and defensive coordinators are going to do it, or if it just basically sell up and let someone else try.
Sorry, Rocky.
I was just going to say that we're in year three of the Detroit Lions rebuild, and it's, even if we were to look at last year, I think there's a big difference as to where the Lions were last year and where the Bears are this year. We saw the addition of a few personnel in the off season for the Lions, and you know, everybody had them as a contender
coming into this year, and none of that discourse seems to be going around the Bears for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, I preface it by saying there's a reason why, on the back of Miami's performance, you brought up Tua as your player of the week. And there's a reason why Justin Fields is the problem, because of the position, and it's the most important position in the world of sports, probably. But I do think there's a lot more going wrong in Chicago than Justin Fields will ever be responsible for.
Yeah.
So he's the piece I'd hold on to. Would I hold on to Matt Eberflus? I can't say I'm strongly pro or against. I think maybe the GM could be under a bit of pressure. But it probably is upper management too as well.
I think you have to hang on to just one though. I don't think it's clearly not working with Eberflus and Justin Fields. Unless you really invest in the quarterback's coach, but at the moment something's not met.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, fair. Good. Look, the buzzer did go, so I'm gonna hand you on to Rocky.
Okay, we're gonna talk about the Chiefs game of the week last week. But in general, we're gonna be talking about South Africa and some of their tactics. What do we think of South Africa's much maligned strategy regarding their bench replacements? Particularly as the lack of specialists, you know, they didn't have a specialist hooker replacement or place kicker, really sort of bit them in the game on the weekend.
It's an interesting one. So obviously they play that 7-1 split in one of the warm up games against they beat the All Blacks. I'm pretty certain.
All Blacks in Twickenham, yeah.
Yeah. It's a high reward, high risk. I don't think it was the reason they lost against Ireland. It probably was the reason the game was so tight, but it wasn't the reason they lost. The reason they lost is they left 11 points out there. And as a squad, they don't have the caliber of a goal kicker than we typically associate with South Africa. The way South Africa previously used to play was very much 10-man rugby, and they would have a world-class fly half. That is a goal kicker, and probably a little bit boring attacking-wise. Like, he's back in the squad now, Andre Pollard. We think of Maurice Steyn, that type of thing. But what Manny Lebak, like, he obviously kind of he didn't get blasted, to be fair, but he could have got blasted for the missed kicks and the fact that he's not a goal kicker. And even Faf de Klerk missed a kick. He does so much that's good about South Africa's game right now that it's just a shame he doesn't have the goal kicking to match. And it's interesting to see that they haven't, correct me if I'm wrong, they have added Andre Pollard to the squad for this week. Right.
I think he's starting. He's down to start against Tonga. So, yeah, he's going to hopefully improve their, well, from a South African perspective, hopefully improve their kicking stats. I think I've seen their, like, 38% or something from the tee this World Cup. It could be slightly higher, maybe 44%, but like that's a combination of Faf de Klerk and Manny Lubbock taking kicks in the three games so far. So it's a tough one on Manny though, because he, I think, was 100% from the tee in that game against the All Blacks. So he can do it. It's just he's
in a tough spot.
He doesn't seem to have brought the kicking tee with him.
Yeah, no, like, okay, here's the thing. Sometimes people watch only international rugby and they don't watch domestic rugby. And for the Stormers, he can be like that, though. He has had spells where he's kicking well, and then he's gone through. So he seems like he's very much a form kicker, and he can go through these spells where he's not kicking. But we're kind of getting away actually from what the point is.
Yeah, true, we're true.
Talking about goal kicking. Like, what are our thoughts on South Africa's kind of split 7-1? I basically think, bring it on. They thought this was, this is very biased now, Rocky, like this. It was like Philadelphia on first and goal. What play are they running? I thought it was very much, we're bigger than you, we're stronger than you, stop us. Move. And they're fully aware of the consequences if this goes wrong, if they get a specialist position, namely in the backs, injured, and they don't have a specialist replacement.
Yeah, I think it's just a bold move. You know, halfway through the game, rejuvenate an entire unit and sort of kind of lead, or depending on the athleticism and the endurance of the backs, and last in the game. So I don't understand the demonization of it and sort of the slating that it's been getting.
People don't like different.
Yeah.
Basically.
They like traditional values. 5-3 splits and maybe 6-2 at a push. But I think if they were to play those, if the two of them were to meet again in the final or whatever, South Africa may go 7-1 again and just have one or two different personnel making up that seven. And yeah. I say again, like Sasquatch, bring it on. That's their power move, and it's like, yeah, see if you can stop us.
It is very much a style of play. There's an element to it as well as to who the head coach is. I don't think this is talked about half as much if the Welsh are doing it.
Yeah. Fair point. If New Zealand done it, no one would bat an eyelid.
No. There's two coaches that if they did it, you'd query it, and it would be Razzie and it would be Eddie Jones.
Yeah.
I would say that I don't think anyone's batting an eyelid. France did it, no one cares. Yeah. So yeah, no. Let them bull away. I say anyway. Right, final point for Agree to Disagree this week, and it's myself. It's probably a little bit too early to get into the nitty-gritty of it, but it is something we're going to look to cover a bit this season. But October, particularly the end of October, sees the return of the NBA, and there's still a few chips set to fall in terms of roster management and stuff like that, but a pretty sizable chip fell last night, which was Damian Lillard announced his move. Or sorry, Woj announced his move as per usual to the Milwaukee Bucks. And a bit of the rhetoric has been, are Milwaukee getting the best version of Dame, or is he potentially entering the period beyond his prime? I think statistically probably one of the best years in Portland last year. But following on from Rocky's point last week about players kind of pushing for moves and stuff like this, I just said, I'll throw a little span in the works on last, the blokes from the world of sport, what athlete has wasted their talent the most by being loyal?
The first one that sort of jumped in my head, and I suppose we'll lump in a sport that I don't think we've talked about this year,
is Mike Trout in Major League Baseball, drafted in 2009 by the LA Angels. He's a three-time MVP. He won Rookie of the Year in 2012. And since his rookie year, or since winning Rookie of the Year, there's been 11 seasons, and they've had a winning season in three of those seasons. After his rookie contract, he went on to sign the largest contract in MLB, but he stuck with the Angels, and many sort of regard it as a bit of a wasted career, not in terms of his own personal achievements, but for what he could have done for a winning team.
Fair. From the world of like association football, you probably look at maybe someone like Alan Shearer, who for years is at Newcastle, and arguably could have had the titles to follow up with the statistics if he'd maybe pushed for a move away from Newcastle. I'm trying to think of other notable examples. I think the Chief may just be experiencing technical difficulties at present, so we might just kind of rock this ourselves, Rocky.
No, I'm sense. Still here if I'm coming through.
Oh, we haven't.
Oh, we can hear you. We can't see you.
No, he got his move this year, but to me, Harry Kane could have been who? Alan Shearer.
Who?
Exactly. Yeah.
No, we're joking.
Yeah, he's got his move to Bayern, but he'll win the Bundesliga. Potentially, he might not even go as far as a Champions League final with Bayern. Who knows? But I think he spent a lot of his prime when he could have been winning trophies elsewhere. He'll get a couple of them now. I'll try to.
You think it would be exceptional? It's the only time I'd shout for it now. But if Spurs won like the League Cup this year, and Bayern for the first time in 11 years didn't win a trophy, it'd be exceptional banter. The memes alone would be fantastic.
Yeah, and the fact that they lost the preseason cup in Germany already on his debut.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Like that was that was prime Harry Kane.
I mean, there's probably a few around the sports world that arguably it's more than just about loyalty. It's kind of like the NFL is a lot more fluid than it would have been decades past. Like, people would always bring up maybe someone like Dan Marino. It's potentially been one of the best quarterbacks to never win. Things were obviously a little bit different back then. Obviously, you couldn't bring in an inter-county star because it's the county they're born in. But is there any other kind of examples you can think of?
Well, here's one that might hit a nerve with Rocky. Shawnee Johnston transferring to Kildare there a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Spot. How'd that go on?
Yeah.
You've hit the nail on the head there, Chief. Absolutely.
You know, he tried to get his move, and he could have won an Ulster if he stuck around. COVID Ulster.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. Though he lost to Cavan with Kildare against Cavan, and then walked home.
Yeah.
Game was in Cavan. The timer hasn't quite gone just there, gents, but I think we're kind of coming to the end on that one. So, moving on, final little segue just to get us out. This week's must-see TV, and again, Chief, tis yourself.
Yeah, so I've gone for the Premier League this week. Saturday evening at 5:30 is Tottenham against Liverpool. I think both teams seem to be on pretty good form. Could be a good game. Obviously, I've no feelings towards either team, but come on, Spurs!
I'll be shouting the other way around. You see, that's the thing. So
yeah,
we'll both be watching and both shouting for the opposite team. Fair. My fixture this week is probably not something we're going to get to discuss a lot more in our short season, but the NRL Grand Final is on this Sunday morning, 9:30 Irish time. It'll be on Sky Sports, I think, Main Event. Sky are a little bit poor at launching kind of the NRL, the Rugby League fixtures, but it is Penrith Panthers and the Brisbane Broncos. They have been side 1-2 all season. It's very rare you get to a Grand Final and it is clean cut, two best teams in the competition, no arguments, no ifs, no buts, no coconuts. And they also have, I think, just one or two injuries, but it's very rare you get to a final and there's not a major injury concern. Penrith Panthers, for those of you that don't follow Rugby League, are going for the first three in a row since 1986 to 1988 was the three in a row. And the Brisbane Broncos are going for their first title in, I think it is 16 years. They used to be a powerhouse in the 90s. They haven't won in a long time. So it's, there's a lot of kind of narrative behind this game as well. So I think it's a must watch. But it's a nice way to kick off your Sunday morning from the cot if you're lucky enough to have a TV in the cot. 9:30 Sunday morning, Sky Sports, think Main Event.
I stuck with the NFL this week. I chose the 49ers at the Cardinals, sort of in the frame of mind that 49ers are undefeated, kind of looking like top one or two teams in the league, and the Cardinals are coming off a sweet upset over those bastard Cowboys. That's Sunday night football. It's on the late slate on Sunday. An alternative, actually, and I don't know why I didn't choose this one, is the Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. So keep that in your pockets too.
Yeah. Or the Packers Lions tonight is plenty of interest. That was brutal. I actually judged you a little bit as a human.
And rightly so.
Bringing that.
Rightly so.
Look, I think that concludes this week's episode. That's all from me.
It's all from me.
And me too.
Thank you, and good luck.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.